You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, winner of the ShareCare Emmy Award for Social Storytelling and the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and today we're going to start another little mini-series. We did one on programming before, and then we did a series on the OPT model. Now I want to go through a series, and this actual series is by request, because I had a lot of people when I was doing the series previously, they would say, can you do a series on the overactive, underactive muscles and posture? So I think it's such a great idea, and I started to do it a little bit. But one of the other things that I got feedback about is when I was going through the OPT model, I would say, look in your book, this is the chart that we're going to be using. And people reached out and they were like, thank you for talking about the chart. And I could go to the chart and I could study it and look at it while you're talking about it. Well, in that case, let's do this. We're going to start talking about dynamic postural assessments. And the first one we're going to do are the feet turn out. But here's what's happening. We've got some like these potential overactive muscles, potential underactive muscles. But are we going to talk about why? What makes those actually reasons why you would see these things? So if you want to join with me, I'm in the textbook. This is the NASM Essentials of Personal Training textbook, the 7th edition. And I want you to turn to page 811. That's going to be in the appendix. And the appendix shows static and dynamic postural assessments. This is great. This is one of those things that if you have a clipboard and you're doing sessions on your clipboard and you're doing assessments, then this is great to have. The page 810 is actually a great one where it gives you the assessment and you kind of mark it off. And when you do your static assessment, this is what you look at. When you do your dynamic assessment, your overhead squat assessment, single leg squat assessment, pushing and pulling assessments, and you just circle things. Do the feet turn out? Yes or no? And then you can specify which one, left or right. So this is going to be a good program for us to review. So as we go over this, we're going to first start talking about dynamic movement assessments. We're going to pick one. So today is the foot and ankle complex, where we look at the feet turning out. That's it. That's the only movement we're going to be looking at. If I set you up in an overhead squat assessment and I line you up the way I want to line you up, which is to look for something. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean this is the only way that you should squat. This is what the assessment is. So the feet are relatively narrow, about hip width apart. Feet are pointed completely straight ahead. That's second and third toe, not big toe, because let's be honest, sometimes the big toes are a little out to the side. So the middle of the foot points straight ahead. That's what we're looking at. And then we see if you can maintain that position while you go up and down out of a squat. And if you can't maintain that position and the feet turn out, what does that potentially indicate? And so we've talked about this, the overactive muscles, you're going to foam roll and stretch. The underactive muscles, you're going to do some isolated strength training. That's great. But what are those muscles? Well, based on this chart, again, page 811, appendix A in the textbook, it's going to tell you that overactive muscles are the soleus, gastrocnemius, and hamstring complex. So this is where I find it pretty interesting. So if my feet turn out, what's my soleus doing that's causing my feet to turn out? What are my gastrocs doing that are causing my feet to turn out? And what is the hamstring complex doing that's causing my feet to turn out? All right, so let's go first with the soleus. When you do a squat and you do not have range of motion in the sagittal plane, and we're looking at ideally 20 degrees of dorsiflexion when you squat down, so many people, even at the top levels, are not getting the 20 degrees of dorsiflexion. 15 degrees is where I like to see at least clients having 15 degrees of dorsiflexion. Many people that come to see me, and there are a lot of complaints up the kinetic chain, and I look at their dorsiflexion, I oftentimes see 2, 3, 4, 5 degrees of dorsiflexion. I've had several people that have had 0 degrees of dorsiflexion. You know, the calf tightness is a big part of it. But what's making the feet turn out? Well, if the soleus is tight and I cannot get dorsiflexion, what will end up happening is that if I can't get range of motion in the sagittal plane, I will cheat. I will cheat by flattening my feet. That's a cheat basically in the frontal plane. I will cheat by turning my feet out. As the feet turn out, that is a compensation in the transverse plane. So it's no sagittal plane range of motion. I cheat in the frontal and the transverse plane. I cheat by going pes planus, flat foot. I cheat by going feet pointing out. That's a rotational pattern in the transverse plane. So the soleus isn't turning my feet out. The soleus is keeping me from dorsiflexing. And in order for me to squat down deep, I need to turn my feet out in order to get a little bit deeper in my squat. Now, does that mean that we can't squat with our feet turned out? Like, why can't I just squat with my feet turned out instead of, well, that's not the assessment. The assessment is to identify whether or not you have tight calves or postural imbalances there. So I would look at it and I would say, yeah, this is telling me that your calves are tight. And then we can go on to the table if we want. I can do a goniometric assessment. I can see, is it gastroc? Is it soleus more? But the reason that the feet turn out and the gastroc can be indicated as tight is because I don't have dorsiflexion. And so I cheat to find range of motion in a different plane of motion. So that's why the soleus is going to be tight. Now the gastroc, on the other hand, and it just says gastrocnemius in the corrective exercise specialist, it gets a little more specific and it'll say lateral gastroc. And the lateral gastroc is important to point out because it literally can turn your feet out. The lateral gastroc can create lateral rotation or external rotation at the knee. So I know we think about that. We talk about the knee being a hinge joint and call it a hinge joint, but it's not a pure hinge joint. It flexes and it extends, and that's what we basically say, that's what it does. But there is rotation at the knee. If there wasn't rotation at the knee, there'd be a lot more knee problems than we actually see in athletics, because the knee has to rotate in order to create a little bit of give, right? So anybody that has valgus, if your knees didn't rotate, every time you went valgus, you just pop off, an ACL would burst off. You know, the knees would just pop because they would come off the hinge. So it's a little bit of rotation. I think the flexion at the knee, when the knee is flexed, you can get like 10 to 15 degrees of medial rotation and up to, I think, 30 degrees of lateral rotation. It's been a long time since I've looked at that. So don't quote me now for getting this wrong now, but it is possible. I think it's medial rotation, 15 degrees lateral rotation, up to 30 degrees. Now, there's a lot more rotation of the feet turning out. So if the foot just follows the shin in that lateral rotation, then the feet will turn out in a squat. And the gastroc can be a part of that. It creates lateral rotation, the lateral gastroc, at the knee. Now, what about the hamstrings? Well, again, this says the hamstring complex, which means if you stretch the hamstrings, then you can address the problem. A lot of times you foam roll the hamstrings, you are foam rolling the problem as a complex. Same with the calves. But corrective exercise will get a little bit more specific, and we would say lateral hamstrings. Well, now you got to identify, what are the lateral hamstrings? Well, lateral is the one on the outside of the leg. Medial are the hamstrings on the medial side of the leg. So if your knee's bent and you just grab behind your knee, you'll feel these tendons for the hamstring. The medial hamstrings are the ones on the inside, and the lateral hamstrings are the ones on the outside. And that lateral one, you'll feel that a little bit thicker. The lateral hamstring is created with two muscles. It's actually one muscle that gets split in two. That's why it's called a biceps, and it is on the femur. So it's the biceps femoris. And that particular muscle actually can create lateral rotation at the knee, causing the toes, causing the feet to turn out. So what do we do with this series of muscles that we've just talked about? The soleus, the gastrocnemius, namely lateral. It doesn't say that on the chart. We get more specific and corrective. I'm getting more specific right now. So we're going to go lateral hamstrings, lateral gastrocnemius. What do we do with them? We got to stretch them. We got to foam roll them. And so we're going to do the foam rolling first. And actually, some research out there that shows if you foam roll first and then stretch, you get more range of motion than if you stretch and foam roll. I don't think NASM knew that back in the day. They just said, hey, if we inhibit a muscle before we lengthen a muscle, we could probably lengthen the muscle a little bit more. And now we've got some research that's showing and backs that up. So I like that. So foam rolling the calves, foam roll the gastrocnemius and the soleus. You won't know which one is which. You just foam roll it. And you will be able to hit both of those muscles, lean out towards the lateral side to get lateral gastroc. But if you go medial gastroc, you're going to get a lot of soleus underneath there. So foam rolling those two muscles. And then I don't use a foam roller for the hamstrings. And I don't foam roll my hamstrings on the floor because it's very hard to get pressure put into that. So what I do is I'll take a ball, usually some type of foam roll ball of some sort, a sphere, and I'll sit like I'm currently sitting on a couch in my house. I don't do it on the couch as much because it's got a good cushion there, but doing it on a treatment table, doing it on a bench, do it on a workout bench in the gym, and then sitting there, putting the ball underneath your leg, and then put some pressure down on your leg with your hands, you're going to get a lot of pressure in there. Now, remember, if it pulses, numbs, tingles, or shoots, get off of it when you're foam rolling, because if you're doing that, then you're occluding a blood or you're pressing down on a nerve. So you don't want any of those things. So just make sure that's tender spots in the muscle that you're pressing down on. And as soon as you're done, you're going to stretch those muscles. So stretching out your calves, stretching out your hamstrings. Great things to do, but then you've got to now go into your activations. So it'll say in this particular thing, sorry, I have to move it so I don't cover up my microphone. It'll say underactive muscles. And in the underactive muscle list, it gives four different muscles we're going to address today based off of this chart. Again, page 811, static and dynamic postural assessments in your CPT-7 textbook. Underactive muscles, anterior tibialis, posterior tibialis, glute maximus, and glute medius. So let's get into some of these muscles. The anterior tibialis is what gives us movement into dorsiflexion. Now, if I'm limited in dorsiflexion, then I want to practice strengthening my dorsiflexors. And so my anterior tibialis is going to dorsiflex, and it's also going to invert the foot. Now, most of the times the feet turn out when you're doing an overhead squat assessment, lining up in a neutral position, and then you get the cheat with the feet turning out, it's because limited dorsiflexion, and then sometimes you'll see an excessive flattening of the foot. So it is kind of a pronation. The feet abduct, externally rotate at the knee, and then they start to flatten at the foot and ankle. Well, that's where the posterior tibialis come in as well. Now, the anterior tibialis is a dorsiflexor, an inverter. The posterior tibialis is a plantar flexor and inverter. So both the tibiali, the tibialises, both of those muscles, anterior and posterior, invert the foot. So one dorsiflexes, the one plantar flexes, but they work together to maintain an inversion of the foot. So with that said, we're going to help strengthen the anterior tibialis to give us dorsiflexion. We're going to strengthen anterior and posterior tibialis to maintain an inversion of the foot, or not necessarily inversion, but to keep from everting too much when we go down into the overhead squat assessment. And then we've got two more muscles. We've got the glute medius and the glute maximus. Now, you can kind of go down this list and you're going to see glute medius and glute maximus on almost everything that basically isn't arms fall forward or head goes forward, right? So the glutes are a big part of what we do in order to maintain alignment. Now, some of this is, for instance, feet turning out is relative to knees turning in. And so we'll start to abduct and externally rotate just to get us some range of motion. But sometimes the knees knock together, and relative to knees knocking together, if my feet stay still, then that's still feet turn out relative to my knee knock. So what we're going to look at is strengthening the glutes to maintain a neutral alignment where my feet stay straight ahead and my knees stay aligned over that. And my glute maximus is a big worker where it limits how much my hamstrings are going to laterally rotate my the knee joint itself, and to keep my knees in alignment. Now, knees being in alignment is what happens at my hip. And so the glute medius, glute maximus strengthen and stabilize the hip to try to keep neutral my knee, and my feet can stay straight ahead. All right. So it gives us a little bit of insight to what goes on with the overactive, underactive muscles of feet turnout. Stick with us as we continue to do a series, and everything's going to be based on this chart. So we'll go through pes planus, lower cross syndrome, upper cross syndrome, valgus, forward lean, all the things that we talk about in the overhead squat assessment. And we'll go by muscle, piece by piece, understanding why we do what we do so that we make that application make sense. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, share with your fitness friends and family. And you got questions for me, you can hit me up at dr.rickritchie on Instagram or Threads, or you can email me rick.ritchie@nasm.org. Y'all keep inspiring people to fitness. Thanks for listening. This has been the NASM CPT podcast.